Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew 17. We've been in Mexico going on 25 years now, and it's been a whole lot of fun. We've seen a lot of things, and you know we're excited. We're excited about what God's doing there in Puebla. And just to give you a little update about Puebla. Puebla is we're like about 6,000 feet up, so it's cool. And I say this because it's hot here, right? So if ever you want some time off and you want to get cool, come down and visit me, all right? I say this really. I'm not kidding around. I think I say it almost every year. You need to come down and visit me.
Amen.
You know, the church in Michigan, and you guys might remember them. They pastored here maybe a couple of years ago. Pastor Reagan is up there. He's been down a couple of times down there, and I think, you know, Lord willing, he'll come back next year. He was supposed to come down this year, but he just had a lot of things going on, and so he had to cancel his trip this year. But it's always really good for us when people come visit us. You know what? They come to visit us to help us out. You know, they want to encourage us. They want to go out and pass out tracts, street. I mean, they're willing and ready to do anything we want them to do, which is very, very, encouraging. Mike goes down there. You know, and things happen when you go down there. It's incredible. You know, you might come down and visit me in Mexico and go back married. You just never know. You know, I mean, things are the church in Michigan. One of the young men, the first trip a couple years ago, he came up. The group came up. We were there in Puebla. We went to León. Spent about a week there in León. Didn't talk to the pastor's wife the whole week. They kept making eyes, you know, from across the room. I could see that. But could, I'm sorry. The pastor's daughter. Thank you. Thank you. Oh man. Hopefully Jose's like, what? What's going on? No. But, you know, so after he goes back, they start writing back and forth. They've had this, you know, this, relationship over text and video calls and all this stuff. Man, they're going to be getting married in September. So you just don't know. You just don't know what happens when you go to Mexico. Not only the marriage thing, that's kind of crazy, but, and just let you guys know, I don't have any more daughters, so don't have to worry about that. But things happen when people come to visit the works there, and they go back with another aspect, with another, if it's just at the very least an appreciation of what you have. Because it really is a different world in Mexico. I mean, things for us, they're normal, you know, the little things. And it's always funny because, you know, does that truck always come around at that time, you know, in the morning and bang like that? Oh, yeah, well, we don't hear it no more, you know. So, I mean, just little things like that, you know, you see meat trucks, you know, driving around with their meat all just hanging out, you know, that they're delivering to the meat markets and, you know, things like that. You just kind of like a little freak out a little bit on stuff like that. But so you come back with another view, an appreciation, but also to see what God's doing down there. I mean, look, guys, we go down there and it's just an amazing thing because we go down there and we preach on the streets. We give out God's word. People actually get saved. Really is an amazing thing. How people get saved, and just hearing God's word, and their lives are changed. Not only are their lives changed, but their families' lives are changed. Their kids' lives are changed. Their kids' lives are changed. You know, it's just a blessing to me when I see a person that I won or I helped win in Irapuato, and I see their kids who are living in Querétaro serving God, and then I see their kids serving God in another city. That's just amazing to me how God, how the gospel came into their lives and just changed their lives. So if you want to come down and visit us, just, you know, let me know. We'll go pick you up in Mexico City, or you can bring a bus down there, whatever you guys want. Just seriously consider it and come down and visit me. There's no bad time. Just call me up and we'll work it out. The church down there, we've been for the last few months, once a month, we've been having, like family workshops. Thank you. Family workshops, which has been a real blessing, teaching about marriage, teaching about responsibility, teaching about, husbands and wives and children and, you know, how to raise them. We just take a little topic and, you know, I teach on something, Karen teaches on something, and then we have fellowship, and it's, and we're trying to do this once a month on a Saturday. So, the church has really liked it. They look forward to it. And so, that's something that's very encouraging to us. Also we try to have, church evangelism. Lord willing, you know, that'll catch on, you know, people are busy up there or down there like you guys are up here. And so just pray for us as we try to work and try to get this church up and running a little faster. Amen? Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to read a couple of stories. This one and another one, and what I want to get across is our focus should be Jesus Christ and only Christ. You know, this week I've been challenged a whole bunch like I haven't been in you know, Amen. A lot of years.
Amen.
Especially, you know, listening to Michael's message the night that he was here, all this technology and all this stuff and you know, also Thursday and Friday, the, you know, how we, you know, maybe take advantage of some things but it's so overwhelming, you know? I mean, look, I'm not a tech guy. I like to pretend I am, you know, I like to, oh yeah, you know, whatever, but I'm not a tech guy. I don't know how to do that much, you know, I can send a text, I can do stuff like probably the majority of you guys here. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that is so overwhelming. So, and the things and the expectations and where this thing could go. And you're sitting there and I felt like I was getting excited and then getting depressed. You know, exciting and depressed, exciting and depressed. I'm thinking, man, but you know what? At the end of the day, if we don't have Christ, if we don't have Jesus, if we don't have Him as the center of our ministry, of our life, of our, in our family, nothing else matters.
Amen.
And as I was listening to this and different things that had come up this week, the story kept coming back in my mind. It's an amazing story. So I want to talk about the focus. If our focus is right, we're going to get. And the second thing, good results. So the focus has to be correct. It says here in verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And then the disciples heard it, and they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another opportunity, Lord, that we have, another day that we have to gather in your name. Lord, I just pray that you make it clear exactly what we need to do.
Amen.
And let us start with our relationship with you, Lord.
Amen.
That's where we need to start. That's where we need to make sure that is correct. If there's someone here who doesn't know you, they need to start right there. And for the rest of us that do know you, we need to do some examining. We need to make sure that our focus is you and you being glorified and you being and the attention on you. Oh Father, we do need your help. We need your help this morning. We need your help in our lives. We need your help in our marriages, in our family, in our children, Lord. We need help in our ministry.
Amen.
We need you to be the one that does this, Lord. And we just thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, first of all, the things that called my attention is it says here that Jesus taketh these three guys. He chose these three guys. And if you read the chapter before, man, Peter rebukes Christ, right? Peter tells him, I mean, Jesus is talking to him and he's telling him about, I think it's in verse, if we just want to read it really quick, in verse 21, it says, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." You know, Peter rebuked the Lord, and obviously the Lord put him in his place. Right? He told him, look, you know, this is not obviously, what you're saying is not obviously the will of God. And then it ends the chapter, and then 6 days pass, and he picks Peter as one of the guys to go away with him. You know, Jesus didn't hold on any grudges. You know, the bigger picture is much more important. And I think these three guys were very important to the work. I think they had to be in the work, in the initial part of this work. They had to be a Peter, and Jesus had to make sure that he saw something in this mountain. And they had to be a John and a James. I mean, these guys, it was mentioned this week, sons of thunder. Man, these guys were a little bit, I think they were a little bit scary, you know? I don't think Jesus gave them that nickname, right? Or that phrase because they were timid or they didn't have a lot of zeal. No, I think they had a lot of zeal. If we go back and look at Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, talking about these guys. Look at this story. It says in 51, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And send messengers before his face. And they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume thee, them, even as Elias did? But he returned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. Look, these guys, for whatever reason, they didn't like that Jesus Christ was disrespected. They didn't like that he wasn't going to get received. To them, it was an offense. And their answer was, we're going to get rid of these guys. You know, this is just not right. Well, you know, these are the guys that Jesus Christ chose to go to see this incredible thing. It says there in the chapter that we read there in Matthew 17, they went up to experience this thing on a mountain high, right? Going up there, experience this great thing. You know what? You and I have been invited. I think when I think of this story, how God chose these three guys, you know that God chooses us. And I seriously think, especially during a mission conference and during this week, God has spoken to somebody.
Amen.
You know, if nobody here says God didn't speak to me, at the very least he spoke to me.
Amen.
At the very least he said, you know what? You gotta correct this problem. You gotta go back and change this. You gotta go and take care of this. Why? Because he called me. He chose me. He's the one who has called me to experience some things, incredible things, guys, to be a part of this work. I don't know how many of you all have participated in the Bible Project. That's a tremendous thing.
Amen.
Tremendous thing how people are receiving the Word of God. How they're asking for it. How they're loving this stuff. And look, the work that we do down in Mexico, look guys, it's not perfect. It's far from perfect, right? I mean, you come down and you see the work and you will understand how imperfect it is. But listen to me, we serve a perfect God. That's the important thing here. You know, I just received a message from one of our churches, who I think now we can change it to Leon has another church, because this guy said, hey, I've been trying to make a map for the churches who actually have buildings with the missionaries and the contacts and stuff. So I've been gathering information from these guys. And so he wrote me just the other day and he said, hey, I want to send you the contacts of the people that are in charge of this other work, because the church where we're at, we just started preaching a colonia behind us, and it's a huge colonia. And the problem is the transportation to get to where we meet, even though it's close relatively, It's the bus system is not very good right now. And so we've decided to hold meetings there. He says, right now they have 6 people meeting faithfully. Incredible. So they go out Sunday. Sunday they have their meeting at their church, and then they stay there and they have lunch, and then they head off around 6:30 to have a meeting at this other place out in the open air. They put up a tarp and they have a meeting for these people. Why? Because Jesus Christ is worth it. I mean, things are happening. You know what? If you can only understand and see, these guys win souls. It's incredible to me. And how are they doing it? Up to now, it's not all technology. It's not all this, that, and the other. You know how they're doing it? Getting out there and preaching the Word of God. Getting out there and raising their voice. Getting out there and knocking on some doors. Getting out there and saying, you know what? I know somebody. I know somebody who has saved me, and I want to tell you about this person. So here we have this huge experience that they've been a part of, that they've been privy to. They had this experience, and Jesus, when he comes back and he tells them, and after the cloud goes away, after he says, hear him, right? You need to hear his words. The only one that was standing there, the only one after all the experience. Could you imagine that? They saw Jesus Christ, his face, and it shined like the sun. Have you ever looked at the sun? Have you ever been that dumb and actually looked at the sun? Right? I mean, it blinds you. You can't look at the sun very long. if at all, right? I mean, but to see his face shine like the sun, to see his raiment changed, to see these two people who have died in time past, and now they're speaking with Christ. Look, they saw the present and they saw the future in one moment. Look, guys, you and I are going to be with Christ. You and I are going to be with him conversing. That's what I thought about. When I see that story, I'm thinking, man, you know, it's going to be really cool sitting down and talking with Jesus. I don't know about, you know, last night Mark said, I want to be really close, and I don't know how close I'm going to be. I don't know about all that. All right? I don't know about all that, but you know what I do know? I want to see Jesus. When I'm there, I want to talk to him. I want to be there. I want to tell him how much I love him. I want to tell him how much, and I thank you, not only for saving me, but for allowing me to be part of this amazing ministry. Amen. Taking the gospel to people. And I'm not just talking about on a foreign field. It is an amazing opportunity for you to give the gospel right here. An incredible thing. After they saw these people that were talking, and you know what? I think Jesus never rebuked them for wanting to make tabernacles. There was no rebuking done after that. I think the story also implies, look, guys, we're not going to make heaven here on earth. You know, that's not what it's about. To be up on that mountain high, yeah, and never come down, to be with Jesus and to be, communion with him, that would have been perfect. But you and I, we're going to suffer some things. You and I are going to go through some things. You and I are going to feel sometimes a little bit lonely, a little bit left aside. Those experiences, and it happens to us all the time, at least me. When I come back from a mission conference, I'm, oh yeah, you know, that was good, that was fun, wow, challenged. And then a few weeks pass, and I'm like, oh man, what happened to that experience? What happened? It's gone. You know, man, I wish I could be up there again, you know, and be with family and be with my church. But you know what? I can sit there and be depressed. I can sit there and say, man, well, you know, I'm looking for that feeling. That feeling is not what it's about. Amen. Because let me tell you, I believe Jesus Christ is here with us, and I believe when I go back, he goes with me too. You know, it's not like I left him here. It's not like, you know, hey, I'll see you next year, Christ. No, Jesus Christ goes with us everywhere. Amen. Save Jesus only. But sometimes we do feel that way. Look what it says over there in John. Look, if we get that part right, it's all about Christ, and he is the center of our relationship, of our life, of everything that we do, I think we're going to get some good results. Because let me tell you, when we figure that out, when we understand that Jesus is our life, we get revived. I remember getting saved. I remember it like it was just yesterday. You know, I was so revived. I was so happy. My coworkers knew something happened to me. I didn't just go back and say, hey, you know. No, man. I went back. Let me tell you what happened to me this week. Let me tell you what. And I made a whole bunch of mistakes that those first few weeks when I was saved, and a few of you know, but I would go back, and I was working night crew there at Sam's, and I was talking to my friends, and every other word was a cuss word while I was giving the gospel. It's an incredible thing. I did not know that. It wasn't my plan to do that, but that's where God took me out of. It wasn't until a Christian, who I didn't even know was a Christian, he finally, after a few weeks, he said, hey man, I want to talk to you. Right? And so he pulled me aside. He said, man, I see there's a change. I've been watching you. I've been checking it out. And yeah, I think God saved you. And I'm so happy. However, you know, you are given the gospel and you are cussing every other word. I said, you're kidding me. This is no way. I don't. And then I started listening to myself. Yes. Do you realize that when God comes and moves into our life, God starts changing us. And some things don't immediately go away. You know? Some things are actually, God's working with us and God's teaching us and God's moving. Let me tell you, when God comes in, and you get revived. Even God even uses your stupid things that come out of your mouth to make sure that people understand, hey, something happened to that guy. He is different. But let me tell you, when you get that correct, when Jesus is the first person in your life, when you understand or get back to understand that things, you're going to get positive results. In John chapter 11, story that we all know, and I'm just going to just touch on a couple things. But we know how it starts off. It says in verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And listen to what it says here. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. But didn't it say there that he loved Martha? He loved Mary? He loved Lazarus? And yet he stayed 2 days more. If he would have showed up on time, he wouldn't have died. He would have been healed. As a matter of fact, I think he could have just been healed by Jesus saying, you know what? He's already healed. He didn't have to even go there. But he waited. He waited 2 days more. I'm thinking, man, what, something's wrong with this story. You love me. You should be right here. I should feel your presence. You should be helping me out. It should be evident. There should be evidence all around me that I can see. Let me tell you, even though you can't see that God's working, even though you can't feel that God's working, he has not left you. We have to understand that. Jesus Christ, when he went there, he said, this, I'm going to allow this to happen. And the reason why I'm allowing this to happen is to glorify God. Yeah. You ought to rethink some things in your life. When things are not going right, when things are happening that you think, man, why isn't God helping me here? You know, why do I feel alone? Why am I being shunned? Why am I having this problem? Well, it might be just to glorify God. You might just have to change your perspective just a little bit. And we know the story. He shows up and he revived. He rose Lazarus from the dead. You talk about, you have a sick person here, you have a dead person here, and then you have a person who resurrected, who's brand new, and he's standing there in the flesh 4 days. I mean, he's dead. He's deader than dead, right? I mean, this guy, there's just no hope for him. And yet Jesus was just one quick command. He comes out. Wow, what an amazing thing. From death unto life. But it was Jesus Christ. It was him that did it. And on his timeline. Wherever he sees fit, and however he sees fit to do it, we need to trust that he knows what he's doing. Four things that I think are very important in this story that I think we need to understand. When we get this correct, when we understand that Jesus Christ should be the focus in everything we do, in our life, in our marriage, in our ministry, in our church, everything about us, it should be Jesus, save Jesus only, nothing else. Thank God for all the tools we have, right? Thank God for our pastors we have. Thank God for people who help us, who pray for us, who come down and exhort us. Thank God for all that. But you know what? People die. Experiences pass. Feelings go away. You know what stays? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what stays. And you know what happens when someone gets revived? And I think you see it in the story. When somebody understands that, when somebody understands who is the one behind everything that we want to accomplish, the first thing that happens, we start seeing opposition. We start seeing some problems. And I tell you this because we have to be aware of what's going on. You know? Because let me tell you, the one thing that I think our enemy, what I think the devil does not want is a revived church. You know? As long as we're asleep, as long as we're thinking, you know what? Everything's okay. No problem. We don't have to change. Just keep on going the same way. Nothing happens. Listen to me. A dead church is an ideal church for him. But the minute that we get revived, the minute that we start seeing something, the minute that God starts moving, be careful. There's gonna be opposition. Look what it says over there in this same book. Chapter 11, verse 45. All this happens. Lazarus is alive. And it says in verse 45 that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Look, I mean, Jesus Christ did something, and because he rose Lazarus from the dead, many people that were there, they were skeptical. Many people that were there, that were living in unbelief, they saw this, and they believed. And then it says, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. And then jump to 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. That's where it started. Jesus did that miracle. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. And from that day, from that moment that happened, we see somebody that got revived. We see people that got excited. We see people that started believing. We said, you know what? Yeah, I kind of forgot about how Jesus worked. I kind of forgot about his focus. I kind of forgot about these things. Now I understand again. And then we see opposition. We see somebody coming up and saying, that's wrong. And we're going to do anything in our power to squash it. Another thing, when revival comes, when we get excited, when we want to do something for God, something changes in us. We start serving better. You notice that? Amen. You start serving better. Just think about when you first got saved. Nothing mattered. Seriously, nothing. Man, I think it was, wasn't it you, Brother Roland, right? Eddie gave away his truck. Didn't you give your truck to him? Whatever. Back and forth. That's what it was. I don't know. It was something like that, right? What a crazy thing. You're nuts. Why did you do that? Listen to me. You want to serve God. It was said during, I guess, I don't know who said it. Maybe Mark said it last night about burning stuff, right? So it probably would have been smarter to sell the stuff and give it to the Lord. You know what? You do crazy things like that. You do stuff like that. Why? Because your service. You want to serve God and you want to get rid of that complaining attitude. You want to get rid of that critical attitude. And if you read there in John chapter 12, it said that's exactly what happened. Read it. John chapter 12 in verse 1, it says, and Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper and Martha served. If you remember back in Luke, remember that story? Whenever Jesus came to their house, whenever he was there, and it said Martha was cumbered about. Right? Martha had a whole bunch of problems. She was worried. She was preoccupied. She was critical. She had a whole bunch of problems. Right here in this section, after revival came, after her brother rose from the dead, after she understood, man, it's all about Christ. Martha wanted to serve. Wanted to get all that critical stuff out. wanted to make sure she was okay, wanted to be right with God, wanted to be right with people around her. Look, we got to make sure that we're okay with people here. We need to make sure. You want God to work through us, in this church? Make sure our relationships are correct. Make sure that we're not overlooking something. And I truly believe, I know I did it this week. I know there was a problem with me. I'm thinking, man, I need to correct this. And you know what I did the other night? I corrected it. And the funny thing about it, we couldn't figure out what happened. What happened in that relationship? Man, brother, did I do something to you? No. Did I do something to you? No. We just kind of like separated. Something happened there, but I was thinking wrong about him, and he was thinking wrong about me, and every time I saw him, every time there was something there, a huge elephant was there, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And I said, you know what? I gotta get this right. Praise God I didn't do anything to offend him. And praise God he didn't do anything to offend me. But something happened. There was a wedge there, an evident wedge. If we want to serve God, we got to understand we need to fix some things. The third thing, look what it says there in 12:3. It says, they took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. It says, and the house was filled with odor of the ointment. You know, another thing that happens when we get, when we understand this, when we understand it's saved Jesus only, when we understand that God can truly revive us again, that God can truly refocus our eyes, our decisions, our everything about us, we start worshiping God correctly. Right. Not only do we start worshiping God correctly, but it also is contagious. You know, just like that ointment that was poured out on Christ, it filled the whole room. Do you remember those days? Man, that was the one thing that I noticed from the get-go. When I walked in through those doors, I felt there's something here that's a little bit different. You know, they're not looking to get something from me. They want to give me something. Not only do they want to give me something, but I see it in everybody in the room. It was just incredible to me. It really spoke to me how people could really be in love with God, and that makes us love each other. The worship is real. And you got to understand that it does happen. It didn't only happen when I came here 20-something years ago. When my sister got saved and she went down to visit me, there in Toluca. When she came back to the States, that was the phone call. That was the conversation I had. She started off with, John, I want what you guys have. I don't have that. What I saw there was so foreign to my life. You guys not only love Jesus Christ, but I could see it. And she was just there for four meetings. Amen. Four meetings. I didn't gather all everybody around and say, okay, fake it really good. You know, please, everybody show up and really, really fake it so my parents, so my mom and my sister could see something that's not really real. No. And I'm telling you, we had a hard time. Both nights, our weeknight meeting there in Toluca, now it not only rained like it never rained before, but the second, week, it hailed. I mean, it was like bad. It was like really, and you know, here we are, we're sitting out there, especially the first night. You know, it's raining, it's coming down really hard, and my mom and my sister get up like they're gonna go. And everyone just pulls out their umbrellas. You know, and they're looking around, they're thinking, aren't we leaving? No, it's not that bad. You know, if it starts lightning, maybe we'll take off. We're sitting out there in the open air getting soaked, and people are standing up with their rain Bibles, and they're standing up and they're sharing. They're sharing how God changed their lives. I didn't tell them, please bring messages to the open meeting about your testimony. Give your testimony, please, because my parents... No, I didn't say any of that. I believe God wanted to show my sister and my mom something very special. Amen. What true worship is. When you get revived and you want to worship God and you want to serve God and you want to worship Him not only with your voice, not only with your presence, not only with your sacrificial giving, but everything about you, that is contagious. And it just takes a few people. The last thing before the real preacher gets up here. In John chapter 12, look what it says here. 12 verse 9. When we get revived and we put Jesus as the only one, and we understand that, not only will we need to understand there will be opposition, but we're going to serve God no matter what. And we're going to really worship Him because He's worthy of worship. And the last thing is, we're going to be the witness that God wants us to be. We're just going to do it. Right? Why? Because He has done great things. Look what it says here in verse 9, 12, 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that He was there. And they came not for Jesus only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They believed on Jesus Christ because of the testimony that Lazarus was giving, that his sisters were giving. They knew that something happened. They didn't only go for Jesus Christ. They didn't only go because they heard this guy raise the dead, but they went because they wanted to see for themselves. Look, it's one thing for me to tell you Jesus changes lives. And then they see me and they say, man, he must not be doing a pretty good job. Right? I mean, listen to me. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door and they knock on my door and they say, we want to talk to you about Jesus. And I say, are you saved? And that always gets them. You know, are you saved? Well, what do you mean? When you die, do you know where you're going to go? Well, then what do you got to tell me? You know, what hope are you giving me? If you can't get in, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been knocking on these doors? How long have you been working for your salvation? Oh, well, man, if you're doing all this and you're not saved, what's the message you want to give me? Try a little harder? That's the message you want to give me? No, let me tell you, when people come and ask me, when people come and want to know about Christ, I want to make sure that they understand I am different. Jesus did save me. Amen. You know? And I know to lots of you here, the grand majority, I think everybody here, you have no idea who I used to be. And believe me, you do not. Look, if you go to the island, if you go to South Padre Island, the real South Padre down the tip of Texas, and you go, you're going to go through Los Fresnos, please don't stop there and ask, do you know John? Don't ask. You know? I don't want them to tell you who that guy was, because it's a small town. Right? A lot of people know me. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ has done such a work in me. He has changed my life radically. The best thing that happened to me was when I understood it's Jesus only. Amen. That last day of that mission conference, that's what got me up off that chair. Jesus only. You know? Got up and I said, okay, I'm going to give my life to Christ. Publicly, I'm going to get this thing right. Because there's no secret creyentes. There's no secret believers. Right? You got to come out. Lazarus wasn't hiding. Even though he knew, they wanted to kill him too. Even though he knew, he was in trouble too. Just because he was dead and now he's alive, he's in trouble. Right? Well, let me tell you, he gave a bold witness. If we understand, when we come to that understanding that Jesus Christ alone, when He is our focus, when He is our life, we will press forward even in the midst of opposition. When we understand that, we will serve God without murmuring, without that critical spirit in us. We will just serve God because everything I do, I want God to be pleased. Look, if this person over here doesn't like what I do, or maybe has a problem with what I do, you know what? That should not be a big deal, unless I'm in sin, right? If they see a zeal in you, if they see you're on fire for God, someone's gonna have a problem. And the sad thing about it might even come from one of us. We gotta squash that. When we understand that, we're going to serve God better. We're going to truly worship God, and we're going to fill this house with a sweet smell. And I'm not saying it stinks. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't stink to me. I come up here, and I still smell it, right? Sometimes less than others, but I still smell it. But nothing like it was when I first got saved. That was a smell. I mean, it was like hit you in the face smell. I'm thinking, man, this is crazy. And of course, I know it was probably because of certain people. You know, you get a person like Uncle Dale come up to you and want to, you know, bear hug you every time he sees you. That's a whole lot of smell. But once we understand that, we'll be the witness that God wants us to be. Church, save Jesus only. Amen. Amen.
Why don't we stand, grab our yellow songbook, and turn to number 6. Number 6. You need a hug?
Yeah.
Everybody's coming back up here.